I thank you for letting me come this week and wanting to be a blessing to you and wanting to be obedient to the Lord at the same time. And boy, if there's anybody that needs revival, it's me tonight. And we're looking forward to God giving us that revival. And we want God to do all He can. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And so tonight, with your prayer, and y'all have been praying, and boy, I sure have felt that and known that. And I'm so glad that you have. And I want to tell you, I love you, church. And Calvary Baptist Church is dear and near to my heart. Brother Gary, Sister Brenda, I appreciate you. Y'all treated me well and fed me and fellowship with me and just helped me this week. And I'm still desiring and seeking the Lord for this thing called revival. And we pray that you will also. Amen. And so I got a cough drop in my mouth. And I'm fixing to take this thing out. So please excuse me and forgive me for that. I wasn't ready. I was trying to get that thing down quick, but I didn't get it down soon enough. And I knew if I tried to talk with it in my mouth, it's going to hit out, come out and hit somebody. And I wouldn't appreciate that. I'd probably have a lawsuit on my hands. But we've been preaching on revival. We've been trying to preach on revival. I remember on Monday, if you remember, we preached on the measurement of revival, talking about that maniac from Gadara, and trying to figure out whether we need revival or not. And I believe tonight that one of the things of measurement, or the gauge of the measurement, was the very being satisfied with Jesus, and then another being seen with Jesus, and then the third one we didn't get to, Brother Ronnie, and the fourth one we didn't get to, but we've seen, I believe, in those two, that we had a need of revival, whether we were living like the crazy man, or was we living to the Christian man.
Amen.
And so you choose where you was at, whether you need revival or not. And so the Lord helped us on that night, sort of kind of give us an idea. And then the next night we preached on the mistake of no revival. If you remember what that was all about there, especially at James 4:17, he didn't know to do good and not to do it. To him it is sin. And we found that the glory has departed from Israel due to the fact of the sin of doing nothing. Amen. So tonight, I can probably just say, if you haven't been touched by God this week and you haven't been moved towards revival this week, it might be because you just are doing nothing. Amen. I'm not saying that's it, but I'm saying that's a possibility that's going to be true. And then we preached on moving toward revival. And we talked about that out of Nehemiah chapter 1 with Nehemiah and all that took place there and how they began to build the walls and they built the gates. You remember the gates? And boy, we was pushing right to revival. Then last night we talked about Job and we talked about, really I call it the man of revival, but it could have been just the moment of revival. And boy, Job came to that place in his life, and not because of sin, not because of wrongdoing, just because of God and His presence. He brought him to that place where Job said, you know, I heard of you, but now I see you. And I abhor myself and repent. And tonight, if you got to that moment tonight, then you have experienced or are experiencing a moving and a stirring of God. And boy, we want that tonight. We want to be in the presence of the Lord. Tonight, I want to bring another message out of Nehemiah chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 10. And I don't know how long it's going to take me to do that tonight, but I want to preach on the marks of revival. I kind of want to bring this into the place tonight as the last night as maybe a maintaining revival. You know what I'm afraid of tonight? I'm afraid of that we have been some sort of emotionally involved, and we had some feelings involved this week, and we had some high points, and then all of a sudden tomorrow come, and we'll kind of get a little bit lower than today, then Sunday will come, and we might go up a little bit, then Monday will come, and we're right back where we were last Monday,
yeah,
and the Monday in the past. And boy, I'm concerned tonight that what God is doing, may it last, amen, and may it do something in our hearts, not just for tonight, but for the rest of our Christian walk, amen. And so in doing that tonight, there are three things in Nehemiah chapter 18, chapter 8, and chapter 9, and chapter 10, that I believe are the marks of revival. I believe if these three things are part of your life tonight, these three things can help you to maintain the revival or the spirit of revival. Let me say it like that. The first thing is the Word of God. The second thing is the service or the worship of God. And the third thing is the house of God.
Amen.
These three things tonight might need to be the mighty important things in your life. Amen? Tonight, I believe if the Word of God and the worship of God and the house of God is secondary on your list tonight, you have wrong priorities. Tonight, I believe tonight, if you have those three not at the very top of your list and who you are and what you are tonight, you'll never experience the presence of God. You'll never experience a moving of God. You'll never see awakening of God. And you'll die as you are, miserable. And friend, you'll find yourself always wondering, I wonder what it was to experience the power of God. And tonight, what a sad commentary for you to live in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years as a Christian and say, I've never experienced that power of God. I've never experienced that presence, that revival, that renewal of that God time when God has activated me. And tonight, I want us to bring to that place in your mind, and that is the marks or maybe the maintaining of revival. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 8 tonight, we're going to read verse 1 as we stand to our feet to do that. I was hoping my voice would be better tonight, and maybe it will as we go, but just pray for that. Amen. Chapter 8 of Nehemiah in verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, and which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we began to be involved in the Word of God, and as we tonight, God, be able to preach, I pray that you'd help my throat. And God, you'd give my mind, dear God, everything that needed to manifest your Word tonight. Father, it's not in my power. It's not by the enticing of words tonight. It's not by my abilities tonight in which anything shall be done, but it's only according to your glory and unto your power. And Father, if you don't preach through me and you don't preach in me, and Lord, if you don't do something with me tonight, God, everything's done in vain. God, nothing to get done. And Lord, we'll leave out of here worse than we came in. And I pray tonight, Father, that you would manifest yourself in a real and a mighty way. God, that you reach down with your strong arm. And God, that you'd breathe on us and look upon us and camp about us tonight. And God, we'll not leave this place until you do that. God, may we just be that way tonight. Father, say to ourselves and say to our hearts tonight, God, I will not leave until you reveal yourself to me. God, I pray that you do that. I pray we do that. In Jesus' holy name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The other night we talked about Nehemiah, and I'm not going to go back there, but boy, Nehemiah got that burden, and he got that leadership, and boy, he took off, and they began to labor, and boy, they began to build those walls. They began to go forth, and they got those walls rebuilt. They got those gates repaired. The people got revival. Here in chapter 7, we talked about how there were 42,360 people come together. You remember there was this old remnant out there. There was great affliction and reproach, and the walls were tore down, and the gates were burned up. Next thing you know, man, they got it all repaired, all nice. They got a bunch of donkeys. They got a bunch of camels. They got a bunch of singers. They got a bunch of things going on. They got a bunch of gold. They got a bunch of silver. And boy, they come to the end of chapter 7. And boy, they have worked hard. They got everything that they ever needed. There's nothing at all that they could say that we wanted. They're not lacking anything. And boy, you know what human reaction to that would be? Man, let's just rest. I mean, we got everything. We got congregation. Just think, Brother Gary, you had 42,000 people in your congregation. I mean, listen, man, I tell you, you have everything in the world. Everything you got, everything you want. And boy, you could look in your mind, humanly speaking, tonight, and you'd probably say, boy, I tell you, boy, this is a good time right now just to relax. Let's just look over our works. Let's look over our labor. And let's give ourselves a little pat, you know, a little ward. And boy, thank God for what we've done and how we've come together and how we brought forth what was just one day. And just no waste, amen. And just a lot of waste out there. But look what we've done now. Look what God's done with us. And boy, you could just sit back and humanly speaking and physically speaking tonight. That's what we would have done. Amen. Just like tonight, you come to this place on Friday night, you come every night, you're tired, I'm tired, we're tired, the devil's tired, everybody's tired, and boy, I can't wait for tomorrow, and you can't wait for this night to get over, and you're going to say, woo, I can get the rest, amen? Yeah. And boy, I says, I know what you are, I've been there before, and you're just human, I'm just human, but you know what happened tonight? All of the children of Israel, they were in revival. They had everything that they ever wanted. They had everything they had at their hand. But there's one thing that they requested. They had a demand for the Word of God. And tonight, that is a mark of someone tonight who is in revival or a state of revival or a spirit of revival is a demand of the Word of God. Tonight, you know somebody tonight is serious and sober about the things of God whenever they demand the Word of God. Amen? I mean, friend, people call me all the time, what you got for my children? What you got for my older children? What you got for the divorced people? What you got for those that have addictions? What you got for us on this night? You got any baseball? You got any basketball? You have a gym? I mean, I got all kinds of questions, but nobody ever asks me, do you preach the Word of God? Amen. Or tell me about God's Word. What do you preach? And, right, you know, but when I talk to people and they have an idea and they have a thought tonight that, you know what? I demand the Word of God. You know this church, Calvary Baptist Church? You need to come to the place, and you are at the place where you demand your preacher to preach the Word of God. Amen? Demand it. And if he ain't preaching it, come and talk to him about it. Say, preacher, I don't come here to listen about Mickey Mouse. I don't come here to hear Obama. I don't come here to hear about what's going to happen in the future. I come down to hear the house of the Word of God and demand it tonight. I know it's in the Bible. I know it's number one, the congregation. The Bible says all the people gather themselves together. Hey, boy, that is an accomplishment and just in one sentence. He says, the congregation, they requested the book of the law of Moses tonight. I want to say tonight, the Bible says in verse 1, they said, bring the book. They said, bring the book of the law of Moses. Can I say tonight, it was a certain book. It wasn't just some book of Muhammad. It wasn't a book of Confucius. It wasn't the book of 330 Hindu gods. It wasn't the book of the pagans. It wasn't the book of the heathens. It wasn't the book of any other ites out there. It was the book of the law of Moses. Amen. That's what I demand. I demand, give me my request tonight. Don't give me an NIV. Don't give me an RSVP. Give me a KJV. Amen. Give me the book tonight. A certain book. You say, well, brother, you kind of got carried away now. You know, can I say concerning the certain book tonight, Jesus declared what Moses wrote. And so these people here, they wanted the law of Moses, the book of the law of Moses. Well, Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, he said, and beginning at Moses. Hey, you know a book that Jesus desired? The book of Moses of the law. He said, he said, Moses wrote of me all the prophets, and he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So Jesus declared who Moses has wrote. Amen. He desired, he quoted what Moses wrote.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I wonder why they wanted that. That's why they wanted that. Yeah. I'm going to tell you secondly tonight. I want you to know that not only did Jesus declare what Moses wrote, but Jesus defines what Moses said. I want you to turn your Bible real quickly now tonight. It's Friday night. Nobody's got to work tomorrow. We're going to have a long night. I done got rebuked this week for preaching so short. I have never been rebuked for preaching short, ever in my entire life. I have never, that's like somebody making fun of me because I'm skinny. Never has that ever happened. Oh, but somebody rebuked me tonight, the other night, for preaching short. I'm going to say to that one tonight who rebuked me for preaching short, I'm going to catch up tonight. Amen? And I'm going to show you why in a minute. Jesus defines what Moses said. Look at Matthew 19 and verse 3. The Bible says, now stay with me on this. He says, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? Uh-oh. Where are you going, Jesus? He said, have you not read which he had made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they were no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Now listen to verse 7. And they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Verse 8, he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Now listen to verse 9. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And, now I want you to mark that, you got a pen, mark and right there. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. That is what Moses wrote. That's what Jesus is defining. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what those children of Israel were requesting. They told us, give us the book of the law of Moses. Now let me tell you what the NIV says. Since it's the most popular and the most wanted, and all those on the radio tonight with the big names and big salaries and big cars and big houses, what they read out of, what they preach out of, and all those that write those big bad books tonight of the NIV tonight, you might have one of those not inspired versions tonight. But let me tell you something tonight. And the Bible says in NIV, in chapter 19, if you got one tonight, you can read it right now. It says this, I tell you, that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery. Now, what is missing with that scripture is this. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Can I just say to you tonight that the King James Version Bible, as Jesus has now quoted, he quoted from there Moses. He was defining to them. He said, this is what Moses said to you. And then the NIV comes with an audacity and with their mind and with Westcott and with heart. And they come take the Bible and they just wipe it completely out and say, we don't need that last part of that verse. Can I tell you tonight, the NIV Bible is not a Bible. Let me just give you something here tonight. I'm just going to waste your time just for a minute. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, it says, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I will think tonight that to repentance is a very important phrase. The New International Version says, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. No, there's no repentance there. It says, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners in the New American Standard. In the New World Translation, that's the Jehovah Witness friends. For I came not to call. I came to call not the righteous, but people. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, pretty important verse. Listen to this. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. In NIV, omitted. In the New American Standard, omitted. In the New World Translation, omitted. In Luke chapter 4, verse 8, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. In the NIV, omitted. In the New American Standard, omitted. In the New World Translation, omitted. Let me give you one more. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, God was manifest in the flesh. That is vital for you and I. It says in the NIV, it says, he appeared in body. Dear Lord, that's not even the same. He said, who was revealed in the flesh? He was made manifest in the flesh. But the King James Version Bible, what God had Jesus Christ defined as the Moses' law, the book of Moses, and what Jesus declared, he says God was manifest in the flesh. Amen? And I'm just going to let you know tonight that since the 1600s, there has been seven awakenings, seven revivals all through the land. Amen? In the 1700s, in the 1800s, in the early 1900s. Can I tell you that King James Bible was part of every one of that revival? Can I tell you tonight that if you don't have the King James Version Bible, you ain't got the Word of God. You'll not find the revival of God. You'll not get in the presence of God. You'll not have the power of God. You'll not hold the peace of God. You'll not have no passion of God. And you definitely won't know how to path of God. You better get the King James Bible. That's what Jesus defined. That's what Jesus declared. That's what the children of Israel asked for, because they were revival.
Amen.
Yeah. It's bigger than good. You say, well, Brother Larry, you're kind of making a big deal out of this thing. I don't understand why you're making such a big deal out of it. Well, you know, can I tell you tonight, God made a big deal out of it. God made a big deal out of Revelation 22, verse 19. He said, if any man shall take away from the words of the book, of the prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life. God made a big deal out of it. I'm making a big deal out of it. And when you begin to make a big deal out of it, you might find God's presence. I didn't want to waste much time on that, but I took a lot of time to do that. Can I tell you, not only did the congregation request the book of the law of Moses, they requested a certain book. Calvary Baptist Church, you need to request the King James Version Bible. And if your pastor ain't got one, buy one. He don't use it, friend, get rid of them. Tell him to take his Bible with him. Not only is it a certain book, it's a commanded book. Verse 1, the Bible says, back in the Nehemiah now. Just get back there if you can find it. I know it's back in the Old Testament, but that's the old things, you know. And it don't, you know, them old things, you know how that is now. One thing about it, we had to build our old gate up. You're going to have to get back to the old. Can I say tonight, it's a commanded book. The Bible says in verse 1, let me get back in line here, because I know some people probably got all excited over this old King James Version deal. But I'm just kind of let you know just a little bit how I feel about that. If you want to know more about it, ask me after church tonight. I'll be glad to let you know.
Amen.
Oh, the Bible says in verse 1 at the very bottom, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Can I say tonight that this old King James Version Bible book is a certain book, but it's a commanded book, amen? The reason why it's a commanded book, because the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is inspired of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says that every godly man or holy man were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says tonight in the Word of God, as these men spoke, they were moved by the Holy Ghost of God. As they wrote down the Word of God, God moved them, told them what to write. God moved them, caused them to write. It had nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with God. Amen. 1,600 years it took for the Bible. Over 40 men that wrote the Bible tonight. Some didn't even know each other. Some did know some of each other. But friend, tonight is no errors and no infallibility in it at all. Oh, the King James Version Bible is a commanded Bible.
Amen. Amen.
I know. It's the last night. Oh, but it's a comprehensible book. The Bible says in verse 2, now follow with me. And Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the congregation, both the women and men and women, and they all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. It's comprehensible. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15 that you make you wise unto salvation. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith by hearing the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 said, the Bible said that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, though, that the Holy Ghost of God teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Can I tell you tonight, the King James Bible is a comprehensible Bible. Amen? Yeah, friend, if you can't understand it, get your NIV and then get saved. The only reason why you can't comprehend the NIV, the King James Version tonight, is because you're not born again.
Amen.
Amen. That's the truth. You can go get you all kind of Bibles you want to. You can get anything you want tonight. But when you get the King James Version Bible, if you're a natural man, you'll not understand these things. But this book is a comprehensible book. Oh, can I say to you as we move on? Not as second as a congregation request the book of the law of Moses, but the congregation, number two, they received the book of the law of Moses. The Bible says in verse 3, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Can I say the first thing that I noticed about the book as they read the book is that they received the book. Amen. And I tell you, here's a problem tonight in receiving the book. You might have a King James Version Bible. It might be in your hand. It might be in your home. It might be in your heart. But friend, if you don't receive it tonight, it'll do you no good. Amen. And two things I noticed about these people. And number one, they attended to it. I mean, they got up and read the Bible from the morning until midday, Brother Gary.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And sometimes, if you preach over an hour, they cut you out. Amen. Hey, friend, if you're worried about the clock, if you're worried about getting home, if you're worried about doing something else at the church tonight, friend, you're not attending the Bible tonight. You're not listening to the Bible tonight. You're not receiving the Bible tonight. That very last word, the last few words, attentiveness. You see that?
Yes.
Attentiveness. That word attentiveness tonight, it means that you paid attention. That means you're looking to details. That means you're looking down deep. That means tonight, whenever the Word of God's being read, you're not wandering off like this. You're not thinking about what happened yesterday. You gave in your heart who you don't even go forgive and who you hate tonight. Oh, friend, it's not what you're doing. It's not how you do it. When the Word of God's being read, you're paying attention to it. You're looking into it. You're trying to find everything. You're trying to get all the golden nuggets out of it. You're saying, oh, God, give me more. Oh, God, give me what I need. Oh, God, change my heart with it. And, friend, you're attentive to it.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm just talking about people who are revived tonight.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you're cold as a cucumber tonight, throw your NIV away. Oh, I'm sorry. You could do something with that King James Version Bible, too. Let me tell you what you could do with it. You can give it to me. You ain't going to read it. You ain't going to receive it. Don't waste it. Give it to me so I can give it to somebody that will.
Amen.
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 I mean, I will pay you for it. I'll pay you for the King James Bible. Tonight, if you're not going to read it, and you're not going to receive it, and you're not going to pay attention to it, and you're not going to be attentive to it, don't let your Bible stay in your trunk and stay on your shelf and stay by your bed and stay next to your shelter while, friend, somebody can be reading it and get something out of it.
Amen.
How selfish that is. I bet you never thought of that before. Man, I got all kind of money right here. If you want to give me your Bible, I'll pay for it right here. Amen? I want to say number three. Not only did the congregation receive the book of the law, but the congregation respected the book of the law. The Bible says in verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon the pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. And then go look at verse 5. It says that Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And then he goes on and says, and he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Can I say, number one, the pulpit of wood. The Bible says the pulpit of wood which had made for this purpose. Made for what purpose? For reading the Word of God.
Amen.
And that pulpit, this pulpit made of wood tonight, is for the reading of the Word of God. This pulpit is not formed and not made to have dinner on. It's not formed and made to be a cheerleader with. It's not formed and made so that you and I can have some sort of platform to do something else besides read the Word of God. Hey, this Word of God is on this platform because it was made for that purpose. But I'll tell you something else tonight. This platform here is a little higher than you are. You notice that? And it sits above you, just like it says in the Bible. That it's sitting above you. And friend, that's exactly what happens. They respected the Word of God. Whoever built this, whoever put this together, they had the Word of God in mind. They had a pulpit to put it on. They had a platform to lift it up in. And they will say, thirdly tonight, when the Bible was read, the people stood up.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you something tonight. And boy, Brother Gary, hope you don't get mad at me about this. I don't think you ever got mad at me before. I don't know. I told my people this. I said, if a preacher comes into our church and preaches, and he don't ask you to stand when the Bible being read, you stand anyway.
Amen.
I'm not telling Calvary Baptist Church to do this, but Glory Baptist Church was told to do that. If I was Calvary Baptist Church, I'd do it Glory Baptist Church then. I'm not telling Calvary Baptist Church what to do. I'm saying, we got to respect the Word of God tonight. Oh, can I say fourth tonight? Because I got two more chapters I got to preach through. The congregation responded to the book of the law of Moses tonight. Look there in verse 6. The Bible says, "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, amen, with lifting of their hands and bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." Can I say the first thing I want you to notice tonight is that the priest, not the priest, but Ezra, tonight, the scribe, he was one tonight that he blessed the Lord. He blessed the great God. You see that verse, that first part of Ezra, blessed the Lord, the great God. That was his response to the Word of God. You see, tonight, you're not going to be able to read the Word of God. You ain't going to be part of the Word of God unless you begin to bless the great God. You cannot read the Word of God. You cannot study the Word of God. You cannot meditate upon the Word of God. You cannot at all tonight memorize the Word of God. And then response is going to be to praise the great God. That's just going to be automatic tonight, amen. That's just going to be the way it goes. That's just the way that it is, amen. There ain't no way of changing it. There ain't no way of dividing it. You can't cease it. That's all it is. This book is alive. This book is alive about God. I pray we love the book of God, but we love God of the book, amen. And when that God of the book is being praised, the God of the Word tonight gets honored by that. All I'm saying tonight is this, is when that book is read, you're going to find that people praise His holy name. Oh, can I say secondly, though? I'm talking about responding now. Responding. I want you to notice that the people responded to the Word of God. There's a few things I noticed what they've done. And they've done it by confirmation. How in the world would you know tonight that somebody is responding to the Word of God? According to that scripture there, they say amen. That's what it says. You say, well, Brother Larry, what does all that mean? That means this. That means if we're reading the Word of God and you agree with the Word of God and the Word of God is causing you to stir and the Word of God's getting into your soul and the Word of God is being received and the Word of God, friend, is going to cause you to respond and in confirmation that God will be blessed and God will be honored, you will respond in a manner of saying, Amen! Amen! Twice. Don't be a one-er. Be a two-er. Amen. 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 Say it like you mean it. Amen. I mean, if the Word of God's being preached and the Word of God's being honored and Jesus Christ is being lifted up and God the Father is being told of, hey, friend, what is wrong with you? And friend, when you get into revival and when God gets in your presence and when He touches your heart, He stirs your soul, you're going to say, Amen! Amen! Some of y'all still ain't said it. Can everybody just say amen? Did everybody say that right then? If you didn't say it, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. I want you to know that's a confirmation tonight. Hey, when a preacher is preaching, and as he's preaching, you're going to say amen, and not to rev him up. I hear this all the time. Hey, man, I'm going to rev up that preacher. You watch. Hey, man, preacher, go ahead. You preach on. You preach on. You get it going, okay? Hey, you just keep it up, preacher. And what you're doing is you're trying to build up the flesh. I'm not interested in the flesh.
No.
And when you say amen, it ain't not got nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you, that you're making confirmation that this Word of God is pleasing your soul.
Amen.
So while you're back there and your mouth is shut and you got spiritual lockjaw and you can't say nothing because nothing's going on.
Come on. Yeah. That's good.
So you're telling off on yourself.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. Well, I know it's right. When you get excited, you got to do something, man. I mean, something's got to fly. Something's got to move. I mean, when God's getting on you, you got to do something. Hey, friend, when God gets on you, I got to say something, amen. That's just the way that it is. And God said, say amen. I like that. I tell you, it's not in here, though. He could say hallelujah because that's in Revelation talking about heaven tonight. And friend, you know what? I say this all the time in my church. You need to start saying hallelujah now because that gives you some practice when you get up there because you're going to feel real odd when you get up there. And never said hallelujah in the house of God. And all around you going, hallelujah. You're going to go, ooh. I'm with a bunch of charismatics up in heaven. Y'all start saying hallelujah. It'll help you out a little bit. Amen. That devil don't like hallelujah. Oh, can I say, in this great God, and I got two more chapters for hope. Man, I'm telling you tonight, it's going to be a long one. I'm going to need more water than this. Can I tell you the second thing? Not only is there a confirmation, but I noticed when God, the great God, was blessed by the people, there was a celebration. Now, we get kind of worried about these kind of things, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you get God on you, and the Holy Ghost of God is within you, and the presence of God is speaking to you, and revival's going to be on you, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You're going to raise a hand.
Amen.
You're going to raise a hand. Hey, you know what? There ain't nothing wrong with raising your hand. Amen. I wish everybody in this church just raise your hand. Amen. Just raise your hand. You say, I'm so shy. But when God gets on you, you'll get out of that mess. When you get up, when you die to yourself and abhor yourself, like Job did, friend, you'll be raising more than a hand. You'll be raising both hands.
Amen.
I'm just telling you tonight, when God gets in you, friend, when God gets on you, you don't get out of control. You don't become a mess. You don't start running around hanging on the wind, hanging on things around you. You don't start speaking an unknown tongue, unknown language. You don't know none of that junk. You're completely under control of the Holy Ghost of God. You're influenced by Him. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. What they done back then, and they're going to do what we're going to do now, is when God is received of His Word, you're going to respond in a celebration of hallelujah. Amen. Why are we afraid to do that? What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us tonight? Are we really that dead? Are we really that cold tonight? I mean, listen, what is wrong with us? We think we're going to have to be part of a charismatic or some kind of holy roller type of situation in order for us to raise our head. I'm telling you tonight, some of you are going to have to let go and let God.
Amen.
You're so tight you squeak when you walk. Oh, tonight, no, no, I know it's a confirmation. I know it's a celebration. But I know it's a consecration. I know that these folks, well, while they're saying amen and they're raising their hands, I know that their heads are bowed down. I know their heads are bowed down, and while they're bowed down, they're worshiping the Lord with their faces on the ground. And let me say something tonight. I was in a service one time. I'll tell you, this is what not what this is. I was in a service one night in the church. If I'd mentioned the church, you would know the church. A lot of y'all know the church well. I mean, real well. I was in a service one night, and there was a guy at this end right here, not in this church, but in that church. He was at that right here, and he was sitting on that deal. He was sitting on this place right here, and boy, the guy, preacher was preaching, and he was like this. He looked over. He's doing this kind of stuff. He kind of did like that. He kind of did like that again. He said, what was going on was this guy here and that guy there was getting planned to start running around the auditorium. One was trying to get the other one to go first. The other one said, I want you to go first. And they were back and forth. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, this guy right here, Danny, this guy right here, he starts running around. Now, next thing you know, another black fella came right behind him. He was running right here. Now you know here, church. The church was about out of control. Oh, God. Oh, God. I tell you, God. I'm telling you, friend, there was no God in that at all. That was pure flesh. That was pure people. That was pure them. God's not in that. I'm not talking about that tonight, but I am talking about this tonight. When you really get a hold of God and God really gets a hold of you, you might say amen and you might raise your hand, but your head will be bowed down in reverence to God. You won't be looking at nobody. You won't be paying attention to nobody. You won't be going like this. Is anybody watching me? Or going like this saying, okay, man, I got to raise my hand. I'm going to see if anybody's looking. If somebody's watching me right now, I'll raise my hand because I want them to see that I'm raising my hand. That wasn't that at all. Man, I'm telling you, when God's really in this thing, your head is down because you're so humbled and you're so submissive to Him. And your face is flat on the ground, and your hands may be raised, and your voice may be saying amen. Oh, but it's not a show. Oh, it's not anything to give to men, to give to men, to get any glory out of. It's completely a worship of the Lord. It's a completely given over to God, amen. And I'm just talking about only the King James Version Bible can bring this to soul. I'm talking about the real, real truth of God's presence. Can I say, fifthly, the congregation read the book of the law. Look in verse 8. And so they read the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Can I say here quickly tonight that they learned. They learned.
See, when Fred, when you get with God and God gets with you and you come to the place of revival, you come to the place with God tonight, every single time that you open up this book, every single time you read the Word of God, every single time you come to the house of God to hear the Word of God, you will learn. If you walk out of here with the reading of God's Word and you learn nothing, it ain't God's Word. It's you. They read it distinctly tonight. That means that they expounded on the Word of God. That's what it means tonight. It means that they expounded on it. In other words, they gave the weight of it. They told them how much this Word weighs. Not only that, but they explained it, which gave them the value of it. And that word distinctly means they expanded it, which gave them the utility of it, showing that this Bible is very valuable. And this Bible carries a lot of weight. And this Bible has a lot of utilities with it. It can reach a lot of areas. It can go in a lot of directions. It can meet a lot of needs. Amen? And so they really understood. Secondly, they cried. Verses 9 through 11. The Bible says that they cried. Paul, listen tonight. Wouldn't it be to God tonight as we hear the Word of God that it'd be such a tenderness in our heart that we just weep? Why would we weep tonight over that? Because God would see fit that an old sinner such as I can hear such a holy scripture as that. How God would love us so to care enough about us to send us a love letter of 66 books. And that we would have the privilege and the honor, Brother Jimmy, to handle it, to open it, to read it, to pray over it, to believe in it, to trust it. Oh, tonight, wouldn't it be to God that God's Word would be so precious in our sight and so darling in our soul and so sensitive to our lives that when we hear the words of it just being preached and read, our hearts would just cry. Huh? When's the last time you cried just because you got a Bible? When's the last time you cried because you got 7 Bibles? When's the last time you cried when the preacher was preaching the Word of God and you got so caught up with God and so, God, I'm so unworthy for your Word, and just break your heart? God, please get us to that place. Oh, can I say thirdly, or not thirdly, but yeah, thirdly, they rejoiced. Verses 12, well, actually verse 10, the Bible says, the last portion said, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Verse 12, the Bible says, and all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that had declared unto them. Man, there was some rejoicing going in. It was a holy and spiritual rejoicing, though, because the joy was of the Lord. I want to say lastly tonight, according to this first point, the demand of the Word of God, in verses 13 through 17, they not only cried, but they obeyed. You see, in verse 14, the Bible says that they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses. Man, they didn't see that before. And what happened was they found it in the Word of God, and the Word of God said they need to build some booths. Because that's what they did when God delivered them out of Egypt there. They had no place to live, no place to go, and so they built booths. So in honor of God and building booths, they read it in the Word of God. And so what they done was they just built some booths. I mean, they didn't ask no questions. Why we got to build booths? No. How long we got to stay in the booths? I mean, what are we going to make the booths out of? I mean, is somebody going to make my booth? I don't know how to use a booth. I don't know how to use a measuring stick. I mean, there was no complaining. There was no griping. There was nothing. You know what people do who have revival, who's in revival, the spirit revival? You know what they do with the Word of God and Brother Gary? They obey it.
Just obey it.
They don't ask no questions.
Amen.
Wives, just submit to their husbands. Husbands, just love their wives. Children, just obey your mom and daddy.
Amen.
Workers, you go to work and work. Amen. And if you're a boss, you treat them as you ought to be treated, and you do what's right. Amen. I mean, listen, Fred, it's just obey the Word of God. Obey the Word of God.
Amen.
Obey the Word of God. Obey the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm just trying to tell you how to maintain this spirit of revival.
Yes.
Amen. And that is demand the Word of God. Number 2, desire to serve or desire to worship the Lord. Number verse 2 says, the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of the fathers. First thing I notice they did is they cut away some things. You see, tonight, if you and I are going to serve the Lord and we have a desire to serve the Lord, they're going to have to cut away from some things. We're going to have to cut away from some strangers, amen? We're going to have to let our idols go. We're going to have to let our idols go. We're going to have to let strangers go. We're going to have to let foreigners go, aliens go. Those that are not saved tonight, we cannot, and again, can I say this? You cannot at all be entangled with them. You at all cannot come with them. You definitely can't come about them. Hey, friend, you can win them to God, but beside all that, you have to separate from them. You're going to have to let them go. You're going to have to let your friends, you're going to have to let your family go. Family wants you to go drink with them. Family wants you to go on a picnic on Sunday. If your family wants you to do something besides live for God tonight, you got to let your family go. You got to let your friends go. You got to make a cut away if you're going to have a desire for the Word of God, for this brother worship of God or the service of God. I'm just trying to give you some maintaining this revival, and you, when you get out of here tonight, you got to start separating yourself. You're going to have to let go. You're going to let go of all your hindrances. I read a book the other day, or not the other day, but some time, and this lady come to her, to the preacher and said, you know what, I'm so mad at my husband. He makes me so mad. He does this, he does that. I'm telling you, he don't let me go to church. He don't let me do this, he don't let me do that. And he said, what do you want me to do? She said, well, I don't want you to just pray. He said, okay, oh God, I ask you right now to get rid of her hindrances. Kill her. Wait, preacher, what'd you just say? Well, you come to me telling me your hindrance is your husband, amen? Then you ask me what you want me to do. You said, pray. I'm praying right now to God get rid of your hindrance. Tonight, you better cut away your hindrance if you're going to. See, the desire of worship tonight will be one who will cut away. Number two, will be one who will be confessing up. See, one who has a desire to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord, he will confess up. Friend, you won't have to ask him to confess up. You won't make him confess up. He'll confess up one by one. He'll confess up time after time. He'll confess up day by day. Amen. You'll find one who desires to worship God, and you find himself repenting all the time. You find himself always confessing his sin. Amen. Hey, all of us tonight do wrong. All of us think wrong. All of us have wicked imaginations. All of us have an evil heart tonight. All of us tonight are as filthy rags. Amen. All of us tonight can't stand up and say, I have not sinned. None of us tonight can say, I'm perfect in every way. But all of us tonight can fall on our face and confess our sins one at a time, time after time, and day after day. If we desire to worship Him, you've got to confess Him.
Amen. Absolutely.
Number three. I'm going fast too. Number three, you got to continue in. I mean, you've got to continue in. If you're going to worship the Lord, you've got to continue in. I want you to notice this in verse 3. The Bible says, and they stood in their place.
Amen.
You got to be in your place.
Yeah, amen.
Anybody? Yeah. There's a place. Brother Butch, I've seen him 5 days in a row, and he sat right there in that same spot 5 days in a row. I promise you it wasn't a half an inch difference every day. I mean, it was about a 6 or 7 foot from this away, from that end right there, and he sat there every day like that. Y'all sit right here every day the same way, amen?
Yeah, amen.
Hey, you right here too. Over there too. You right there. Everybody's got assigned seats, it seems. Amen? Come Sunday morning, be in your place if you want to worship God. That's right. You've been your sign set in your sign place. Amen. Be in your place to worship. I'll tell you the second thing I want you to notice. The Bible says they stood up and read the book of the law of their God 1/4 part of the day. I mean, they were partakers of worship. Amen. They were partakers of worship because they heard the Word of God for 6 hours. Yeah. I've got another 5 hours. You know what happened on this day? Man, they were partakers of the worship. And this is how you're partakers of the worship. I know it's a lot of times. I hope you don't get tired. If I see some of y'all start sleeping, I just come right down where you are. A lot of times the mentality of I went to worship today and I went to worship service today and we had worship service today is that as you get out of your house and you put your foo-foo juice on and you put your Sunday clothes going on and you get all fixed up and fancied up, get all dialed up, get your hair slicked back, you know, and all that kind of stuff, get your glasses cleaned up, and you come on down here all fixed up and fine and you get in your car and you drive on down and you beep off on into the house of God and you come on in here and you sit down. Bless God if you go by and shake anybody's hand. Oh, dear God, that would cost more than I have to pay. But you, most times you're coming in late.
Yeah, it's been. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, you know I love you, don't you?
Amen. Do it.
So you come in late, you got to rush in. You got to do it. The Bible said don't do nothing by haste and you're hasting. And here you are hasting on into the house of God.
Amen.
And you come on in, you sit down. You're going so fast when you sit down like this dear fellow right here. You slide all over here. That's how fast you're going. Whoa. You don't even sit there. You just slide down there. And boy, you go sliding on down there and you sit down and the preacher preaches his heart out. The singer sings. Hey, by the way, if I had a trumpet like that, I could do that, sir. I could if I had that trumpet. Will you give me that trumpet? Amen. I say, most of the time you sit right here, you come here to preach and hear the singing, and you get up and you walk out of here, get back in your car, and you go back home, and you take that little nap and all that kind of stuff. And you said, boy, we worshiped today. No, you didn't.
No.
You ain't done squat.
Amen.
That's not a Bible word, but it's my word. Squat. You know what it means to worship tonight?
Yeah.
Read that scripture. It means as the Bible was being read, Bible's being preached, they said that they're worshiping.
Yeah.
And then they're confessing. And then they're worshiping. And then they're confessing. But while the Word is being read, they got their hands up. They're saying amen. They got their faces to the ground. And they're praying, asking God to forgive them of their sin. Getting right with God. All of a sudden, they start to worship again. All of a sudden, they start to confess sin again. Oh, during that whole service, during that whole time, they confessed and they worshiped. They confessed and they worshiped. Hey, that's when you went to church.
Amen.
If you don't do that, you ain't done squat.
You're right.
And while the preacher's preaching, you ought to be confessing or you ought to be worshiping. Confess it, worship it. But if you're doing anything else beside all that, you ain't doing squat.
I'm just trying
to help you with the marks of revival and how to maintain that. Fred, you've got to have a desire to worship. And that worship, you're going to confess and worship at the same time. In other words, their time is not an issue. Our people always gets on to me because the time's the issue. You know, a preacher, you got to be sensitive to that. A time. And I'm real sensitive right now. But my watch is like that, Brother Gary. I mean, I'll say here fourthly, I want you to notice between verses 4 and 32, but I wish we had time to read that, what they said there. Boy, I encourage you when you get home to do that. But you get down to verse 32, there was not only a continue in, but there was a covenant with. Boy, after they come and they had their desire and they confessed up and they cut away and they continued in this thing and finally they come to a place of making a covenant.
Yeah.
Amen? In verse 32, the Bible says, and therefore, O God, it says, now therefore, our God, the great and mighty and the terrible God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the troubles seem little before thee that hath come upon us, on our kings and on our princesses and on our priests and on our prophets and on our fathers and on our the people, since the time of King Assyria unto thy days. Howbeit thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. But look at verse 37. He says, and yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. So they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle and at their pleasure. And we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it in our princes and Levites and priests seal unto it. Can I say, friend, that those people come to a place about this worship and serving of God that they said, listen, God, I have met with you. You have met with me. And I am now serious and sober about this thing about serving and worshiping God. I have now come to my place where I want to make a covenant with you. And I want you to make a covenant with you. In other words, tonight, I want to devote myself to your service. In other words, when you make this covenant, we want to give ourselves to your pleasures, Lord. Hey, Lord, not only that, but we want to commit ourselves to your work. We need to sign it. We need to seal it. In other words, Lord, we are bounding ourselves to be faithful to the service of Yahweh. Amen. And tonight, that's what we need to come to. With a covenant with God. And say, God, I'm making a covenant with you on Friday night, on this day, on this hour, that I will bound myself to your work and to your service. And I will worship you and I'll serve you for all the days of my life. I command that and I covenant with that with you. That's if you got revival. That's if you really want to walk with God.
Amen.
I will covenant. Amen. I will desire to worship and serve the Lord. I will demand the Word of God. Give me a fourth part of the day and I'll be done. Nobody laughed at that. Nobody knows what the fourth part of the day is. Chapter 10. I notice there's a desire for the worship of the Lord, and there's a demand for the Word of God, but there's a determination for the house of God. I want you to know, number one, verse 28 of chapter 10. All that other verses there just told about who's going to be on the signatures and signs and seals. The last portion of verse 28 says, "And all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God." Now, what this word separated means that they divided themselves. And what it means tonight is this. It means that they were being distinguished. It's a little different than the other separation. It means that they were going to be distinct. Have you ever thought about that tonight? If you and I are ever going to be determined to the house of God, we're going to have to be distinct. Distinguished. It means to be to the place of different. Tonight, you can't be what you always been and be in the house of God. That you can't be loved by everybody and be in the house of God. Beware when all speak highly of you. Friend, listen, it just boils down here. You're going to have to come to the place where you separate yourself from the strangers of the land and you're going to separate yourself to the law of God. And pray, when you come to the place where you have a determination for the house of God, it will be that I will be different than them, but I will come to Him, amen? And the Word of God, the Scriptures, what thus saith the Lord, will make me different and distinguished, and I will be distinct because of that. I come from them, and I go to that. Friend, that's what caused me to divide for the determination of the house of God. You know what's wrong with the house of God tonight? There's no divide. We all look the same. Your lost friends and you look the same. Y'all go to the same cinema. You watch the same shows. You drink the same beverages. You smoke the same cigarettes. Oh, I'm sorry. A little too far. There's a divide. Can I say number two? There's a dedication. Look at verse, I want you to look there, verse 29. It says, "And they clave to the brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law." Can I say tonight that what Calvary Baptist Church must do, not need, but must do, is that we must determine to be part of the house of God, and that's going to create some dedication in our part that we will cleave to one another.
Amen.
That we will cleave to one another. Now I can say this tonight, if you cleave to somebody, you're going to be part of that somebody. I just heard an old scripture where it says that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and them two become one, right? For the Bible says that these people cleave to one another. I mean, there was a time in the house of God when the people of God, who was part of that house of God, they were kind of like family, amen? They were cleaved together. They were of one mind and of one heart and of one spirit. Hey, I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you walk in those doors and you come and sit down and you don't go around shaking everybody's hands, I'm telling you right now, Fred, you're not cleaving to nobody but yourself, amen? Matter of fact, the devil might be cleaving unto you. But friend, you need to get around. You need to shake their hands. You need to hug their necks. You tell them you love them. You tell them you're praying for them. You want to tell them you're part of your life. You're glad they're at this church. You're glad they're part of this church. Amen. Cleveland together tonight. Friend, you'll encourage them. You'll help them. You'll lead them. But if you're such a do-nothing and you come on out of the car and sit down in the chair and you'll say nothing to nobody, something's wrong with your heart tonight. Well, yeah, I'm right. I seen some come in tonight. That was it. That was the end of you. There's no cleaving in that. That's anti-Bible. That's anti-Christ.
Amen.
That's hard. Oh, they cleaved to one another. It gave them strength. It gave them encouragement. He gave them to continue. He gave them to withstand. Folks, don't all of us need that tonight?
Amen.
Don't we need that in our lives when we come to the house of God? Can you imagine just the house of God cleaving together? Coming together and being a strong army of God and knowing that when I get to the church, I got somebody that loves me. I got somebody that cares for me. I got somebody that's going to ask me how I'm doing. And somebody's going to tell me they love me.
Yeah.
It's going to take revival to do something. They cleave to one another. You know what else? They said this to God, and God don't require this of us now, but they said unto God, God, if we don't do that, curse us. Wouldn't it be to God tonight that starting Sunday morning, that everybody in Calvary Baptist Church would be cleaving to one another?
Huh?
Hey, let me just say this, though, before we get too excited. Guys, hug guys. Gals, hug gals. That's right. I've been like that for a long time. But my wife did go to church. Don't be hugging on my wife. Anyway, I won't hug on your wife. You won't hug on mine. Don't be hugging women and guys. I mean, don't do that in the church, hugging on each other. Does that make sense? Now, you can disagree with me, want to, but that don't make you right. Oh, cleaving to one another tonight. Friend, that's when you have a determination for the house of God. You say, I love my church. Well, then you're going to cleave to one another. That's what you're doing.
Amen.
Yeah. Number two, or three. Where am I? I don't know where I'm at. Here, verse 29. Not only did they cleave to one another, but they covenanted with one another. So what were they covenanted with? They said this. They said, The gift which was given by Moses, the servant of the Lord, to observe and to do all the commandments of the Lord, our God, and His judgment, His statutes. You know what they did? They not only cleaved together, but they covenanted together, and they said this together, three things. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Now listen to me, church. I know time's gotten away, but give me 10 more minutes. I said that 10 minutes ago, but 10 more minutes. What this people did was they covenanted together, and that was, Brother Gary, they come together with Brother Tony. Me and Brother Tony come together and said, Brother, we're going to covenant together. And what our covenant is going to be is this: is I'm going to promise you, and you're going to promise me that we're just going to walk in God's laws. All right? Now I'm accountable to you, Brother Tony. When you see me not walking in God's law, you just straighten me up, okay? I'm giving you privilege and I'm giving you honor to do that. I made a covenant with you. If I break that covenant, man, that's bad with God. Amen. I'm wrong with God if I break that covenant with you. And they made covenants with each other that they would obey God's law, that they were going to walk in God's law, that they were going to do what God said. So you didn't die unto yourself. You don't live unto yourself tonight. Friend, you're going to make covenants with one another. I'm talking about do you really have determination for the house of God?
Amen.
Every one of us tonight ought to be covenanted with everybody.
Yes, sir.
And everybody in this church ought to have the right and have the privilege to come to your house and to call you on the phone and tell you, listen, you're a joy in my heart. You bless my soul. You're living for God and you help me. Or, listen, you're wrong and you're telling lies and you're drinking beer and you're wrong with God. And I'm telling you, come back unto the Lord. Because we made a covenant together. I'm talking about real church, Brother Gary. New Testament church. And that's what it's all about tonight. There's a covenant between us.
Yes, sir.
See, the world don't have that. There's a cleaving between us. A dedication I'm talking about. Then there's a commitment.
Amen.
By one another. In verse 30, the Bible says that we will not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. But I tell you what, we're going to commit to one another. We're not going to give our children to the world.
Amen.
And you know what? And we're not going to get the world's children in here.
That's right. Amen.
Amen? Hey, that ought to be a commitment to everybody.
Amen.
A commitment is this. This is our church. God loves us. We love God. And we're not going to take on them people's daughters. And they're not going to take our sons.
That's right.
I'll tell you, buddy, if we'd have done that, Brother Gary, our church would be different today. Lastly, my last point, they were devoted. They were devoted. Three things I noticed that they were devoted. Verse 31, the Bible says that they were devoted to a day for the Lord. The Bible says, and if the people of the land bring ware individuals on the Sabbath day or to sell, that we would not buy it or on them on the Sabbath, on the holy day, that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. In other words, I'm saying today that they said, no, I'll tell you what we're going to be devoted to. We're going to give one day to the Lord.
Amen.
And on that day, it's going to be the Lord's day. It's going to be a holy day.
Amen.
It's going to be a Sabbath, if you would. It's going to be a time not to work, a time not to play, a time not to go to the games, a time not to work out in the yard, a time not to go to the grocery store, a time not to do this and do that, but a time for the Lord.
Amen.
And how dare you, as part of the house of God, do anything else on the house of the Lord, on the day of the Lord, except go to the house of the Lord?
Amen.
How dare you steal from God? That's not your day.
Right.
It's the Lord's day.
Amen.
Sunday is the Lord's day. You have no right stealing 1 hour from Him. You have no right at all to do something that He's not involved in. You have no right on that day to do what's pleasure to you rather to pleasure to Him. It's the Lord's day, Brother God. Dedicated. I mean, I'm determined for the house of God, but I got to be devoted to one day. The Lord's day. Number two. Not only am I devoted to the day of the Lord, but I'm devoted to the donations for the house of the Lord. Verse 32, he talks about we also made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly by the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of God. And so what they're interested in is the service continuing. See, they're going to donate. These people are going to donate to the church, to the house of God, so that service will continue. Amen. So I am determined for the house of God, and by being determined to the house of God, I'm going to donate to the house of God so that the service can continue.
Amen.
Right? That's what it says. Now people who love God, who are full of God, who's led by the Spirit tonight, would say, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. I want the service of God. I want the buildings, I want Calvary Baptist Church buildings to continue. And I'm going to give what I have to cause it to continue. Secondly, I'm going to be concerned about the work. Continue. Look at verse 33, the last portion of it. And for all the work. I'm interested in my church that they reach the lost. That's what the work is all about, reaching the lost. And so I'm going to donate. I'm going to give my tithes and I'm going to give my offerings unto the church. And I'm going to do it every Lord's Day because I want the work of the Lord to continue. I want to continue to reach God. I want to continue to reach the lost.
Yes, sir.
I want to continue to be a blessing to those who don't have Christ.
Amen.
But they're going to donate. Amen?
Yes.
Number three. In verse 34 and 30, 35, they're going to give so that the worship continues. Look what it says. It says, and we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, the people, and the wood offering to bring it into the house of God and after the houses of our fathers at times appointed year to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God as is written in the law to bring the first fruits of our ground, first fruits of the fruit of the trees year by year unto the house of the Lord. What does all that mean? Well, they're going to bring in the wood to burn on the altar. There's no worship without the sacrifice of that altar. So what are they going to do? They're going to donate so that worship continues. So that service continues. Amen? You with me?
Yes, sir.
I got 4 minutes. by my contract. And so we find that I'm going to donate to this church, Calvary Baptist Church. I'm going to donate so the service will continue, the work will continue, and the worship will continue. Fourthly, I'm going to donate because I'm determined, because I'm revived, so I want to walk with God, that I'm going to see the minister continue. It says in verse 36, and the firstborn of our sons and our cattle is written in the law, the firstlings of our herds and of the flocks, to bring to the house of God and to the priests that minister and to the house of our God. Our pastor tonight. And that goes all the way to verse 39. And so we find tonight that we're going to donate so that our pastor can continue. Tonight, I know I only got a few minutes on this, Brother Gary, but I just want to say this, Calvary Baptist Church. If you can give more so this minister can keep on, you need to give it. If you're hoarding money and keeping back, you don't love this church as you think you do. Because you love, as much as you love this church, you'll love this man. And while you're loving this man, you're going to donate because you've got God in your heart, you've got revival in your soul, and friend, you're going to manifest yourself by ministering, causing this minister to continue here because you have the funds to fund him. I'm just saying tonight, I don't know what you're doing for Brother Gary, and that ain't none of my business what you're doing for Brother Gary, but if you could do more, you need to do more. And I'm not, I didn't come here this week. I hope you know that. I'm not that kind of preacher to sit here and get Brother Gary a raise. But I am coming here to tell you about the Bible. And the Bible says that good people donated so the minister could continue.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
I heard a guy say one time, you know, Lord, if you keep our pastor humble, we'll keep him poor. Thirdly tonight, and lastly, that we're devoted to a day for the Lord, and then we're to the donations for the house of the Lord, but then to the destiny of the house of the Lord. Look at the last portion of verse 39. And we will not forsake the house of our God. We will not. Six words that this means tonight, and I'm going to go through them quickly. Number one, we will not leave Calvary Baptist Church. We will not do that. I might do a lot of things, but I won't do that. Number two, I will not abandon Calvary Baptist Church. That's what he's saying. I am determined for the house of God. I'm devoted to the destiny of this church, and I will not abandon it. Number three, it means to forsake it. Number four, it means to neglect it. Number five, it means to desert it. And number six, it means to apostolize it. That apostolized word means tonight to renounce the belief in principle. It means to give up one's faith. And all I'm saying tonight, if you and I are going to continue in this spirit of revival, we're going to have to desire the Word of God. We're going to have a place where demand the Word of God. And we're going to desire the worship of God. And we've got to be determined to the house of God. And that destiny of the house of God is this, is I will not apostatize it. I will not renounce my beliefs. I will not change my faith. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. People are doing it. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. That's why we need revival. Stand to our feet. So Gary, you just come.
Amen.
I probably said more tonight than I should have. I'm sorry.